Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW Shir number 124. That's Bais Panimi for women, Shir number 124. So we talked about the infatuation stage and then the post-rapture stage, which is when you're working very hard to connect with one another, even when the lows are felt. While you're working on that, you get to a point where you hit the next stage, which is called the discovery stage, which is gathering information about each other. Now, when people are listening to this and they say, okay, this makes sense in Shana Rishayna. We don't know each other yet. And therefore, we gather information on each other to learn and develop and get used to each other in our relationship and who we are. But like I said many times, and it's based on solid experience, of people that deal with this all the time, is very often people do not know their spouses, even after 5 years, even after 10 years, even after 20 years. You know, there are times where they finally sit together with somebody working through different things, and they're already married 30 years. And I didn't know this about you. I didn't realize how much you cared about this or this or that. How does that happen? The answer is, if you don't express it, then you don't know. We're not mind readers. And if we're not mind readers, we won't develop that. Some things you can intuit and figure out, and some things you just simply can't. Human beings are complicated. You need to gather information. You need to be, the love between the two of you needs to be flexible enough to accommodate new information about each other. New roles, things shift, new ways of loving each other. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Sometimes it's Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem makes low spots in a marriage happen because Hashem is waking you up and say you need to discover things about each other. You need to practice examining current needs. What your husband needed till now, maybe he needs something else now, and make adjustments. Instead of just saying and staying in the same rut and deciding just this is the way it is and finished. Take time to discover things about each other. Take time to learn. That is the importance of gathering this information, to learn to ask, to learn information not just about your spouse, but truthfully about yourself. The risk behind this very often, what people are afraid of, and they don't want to do this, even though this is the only way, really, to get to the Gan Eden that comes from on the other side of this, is because you risk rejection. You may have had early experiences where you tried to open up and acknowledge your needs, and that information that you received was too stressful for you, maybe something you didn't want to hear, and you got criticized for it, and you risk rejection, and you got hurt, and now you don't want to share anymore. Sometimes a woman or a man may have said, I told you what I want over and over, I'm tired of asking, and the real fact is you don't really care. But Pat Love says in her book, her experience has said that it's not that they don't care. The one who is accusing and saying, you don't care, I said it again and again, you don't care, very often that partner is not totally innocent. For example, the request may have not been specific. If you told your husband, I want more intimacy, it can mean a number of things. If you didn't spell it out, he's not going to know. It could mean, I want more sex, or I want more touching, or I want more holding. Or I want more talking about emotions. Or I may want more giving information to me, telling me where you're going and what, when and where. Or I want you to ask personal questions about my life and how my day was. Or I want you to flirt and so on. The other person needs specific requests from you. I would like you to initiate sex at least, you know, once every three times. Or instead of going silent, I want you to tell me if you think I was rude to you, instead of withdrawing into your shell and sulking, please tell me that I've been rude or I said something wrong, so I should know how to correct it. But if you don't spell it out that way, your husband will not know. Well, not is not a mind reader. So he'll do his regular silent treatment and withdrawing when he's hurt instead of expressing himself, you know, I got hurt because you said that. Or if a request was made in a critical way or in a blaming way, that makes it difficult. Or the person asking this was so unappreciative in the past that the other one just gave up. It could be your husband tried, but you were unappreciative of certain things about him where he says, no matter what I do, I'm going to get it over the head. And they just shut down. The person making the request sometimes is unrealistic and unreasonable about expectation. You know, on one hand, you're not happy with your husband because he needs to work overtime to get more money that particular week or whatever it is, but then you're upset. Why'd you work so many hours for? Like the opposite complaints. Or the one making the request is insensitive to the other one's needs. Or has been so critical before and resentment already built up that they're not going to try again. So the way to fix all this is to, again, forgive each other. Start with a beginner's mind again. Recognize love is not a one-way street. Recognize that you need to work on it. You, individual, need to work on it too. And you ask yourself questions. Do I have a clear understanding of my husband's current needs? Do I make an effort each day to meet my husband's needs? Did I make clear to him in a pleasant way, in a calm way, what my needs are so that he could do his best to provide me the needs that I need? Do I focus on pleasing my husband as much as I focus on being pleased myself? Am I sensitive to my husband's needs as I expect him to be of mine? How do I respond if my husband expresses to me certain needs, whether it's physical or emotional, whatever it is? How do I respond? Do I respond in a mature, loving way, or I brush it off, or roll my eyes, or make fun of it, or are sarcastic about it? What would my husband say that I make him or his needs a priority? What do I make it easy for my husband to ask for what he needs? Or do I make it hard for him because I put up this cold front or this intimidating front so he would be afraid to approach me and express his needs to me? So all of this is very, very important. Here's a very emotional experience that the author had in one of her workshops. She divided men and women into two discussion groups. Her assistant led the men's group. Pat Love, the author, went to the women's group. The talk was about sexual needs. During that time, there was a lady there, Sheila, very bright-eyed, attractive blonde. And she was describing a very painful relationship with her husband. He turns away from me. I've tried everything. I tried being affectionate. I wear sexy lingerie. I cook his favorite meals. I try talking to him about a sex life. Nothing works. We haven't had sex for 2 years. Either he just doesn't want it, or he doesn't want me. And I feel unattractive. I feel inadequate. He's a good man, and I love him. But I can't stand to think that my rest of the life will be like this. And she began to cry. She began to cry. One of the women, there was silence in the group. One of the women held her hand. The other one brought out a tissue. Others described it. And then another lady was listening. So in Linda. And Linda told Sheila, turned to her and said, Sheila, as I'm listening to you, my first thought was, well, if he acts this way, you should just leave him. You should just leave the marriage. But then it hit me. I am just like your husband. I haven't given any thought to my own husband's needs. So what happened here is by listening to Sheila about her own husband's rejection of her sexually, Linda got an objective look of her own behavior and her own steps of recovery. That's called a moment of maturity, where you recognize she saw Sheila's story in herself. She saw that her husband's ignoring her sexually is what she, Linda, was doing to her husband. And she couldn't go blindly now ignoring her husband's needs anymore. She needed to do something about it. So the aspects behind this, going to just mention many things. Listen carefully. Write it down if you need to. And you ask yourself, does this need improvement? There are times where you need to actually, yes, my husband has a problem. He's not treating me right. He has an inherent problem. Sometimes it's necessary. You have to talk to him about it. And sometimes you need counseling for it. And you're not always wrong and he's not always right. But there's a time for self-reflection. You look yourself in the mirror. And you ask yourself, do I need improvement in these areas, or I'm very good in these areas? Do I make time for our relationship? Do I meet my husband's sexual needs? Do I make our relationship romantic? Do I create a loving atmosphere as best as I could? Am I supportive of my husband? Do I give physical affection to my husband? Do I allow him to give to me, and do I receive physical affection gracefully from him? Do we mutually initiate in satisfying intimate conversations? Am I reasonable about money? Am I reasonable about his expectations of what he does? Am I his best friend? Am I trying to be his best friend? Am I putting some simchas achaim and fun into this relationship? I'm always tense and serious and businesslike. Do I do everything I can to make it a safe, comfortable home? Do I speak to my husband in a kind, respectful manner? Am I clear and trustworthy about my commitments? Do I tell him where I'm going, or I'm evasive? And you think about these things and you make your own cheshbon hanefesh. We had separate shiurim in the BPM. Earlier on than here, earlier numbers, I think in the 80s, in the BPMs, while we're doing it here a little later. So they'd heard everything here, and they have to do their work. But you have to do yours. I'm going to tell another interesting story that she brings down of a different couple. Alexia and Paul were the names of these people. And Paul was the tallest guy in the room. She was a very beautiful person as well. And very handsome, very good looking couple. And they both work. It's a second marriage. Paul had an 8-year-old son from his first marriage. That's with them on Wednesdays and every other weekend. They have 2 kids of their own. Babies. And 2 dogs and a cat. And there's no time with each other, and they're constantly fighting with one another, and they're juggling a lot of responsibilities, creating tensions, and they went to the seminar that Pat Love had and all this stuff, and did an evaluation form similar of what the questions we just mentioned just before. And Alexia, the wife, wrote that during this conference or seminar was the best days they had since their honeymoon, because they were focusing on themselves, and they realized based on the other couples there that they were normal. They were going through difficult things, but it was the normal challenges of a strong relationship. They rediscovered each other, and they're starting to do what's focusing on becoming better parents, restoring their sexual intimate life, starting to again work as a team. She acknowledges she was ignoring his sexual needs. He understood that if he helps out with the kids more, she'll feel loved more, and so on and so forth. And they identified each other's needs, and they worked with each other. For him, it was the sex that was important, that opened up the emotional aspects. For her, it was to get help, to get her have more free time, and for him to be sensitive to help her out that way. And they worked with each other with what each one needed. It's loving behaviors that keep people together. It doesn't mean you'll solve all your problems right away. Doesn't mean you'll stop arguing right away. But satisfied couples meet each other's needs in a positive way. They do their best to make the other one happy. They may not need what the other one needs, but they do their best to accommodate it. Whether it's physical and sexual, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's using more kind words, where it's helping out more in the house, all the five love languages that we described in previous shiurim, and all the 10 needs, different needs that we described in other shiurim, and they do their best to accommodate each other with it. Bracha v'atzlacha.